My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He's been our expert guest many times as the marriage debate plays out here in Washington and in states around the country. He has argued in courts in various states in defense of traditional marriage. And we want to get his thoughts today, of course, as the Supreme Court wraps up 2 days of oral arguments on the issue. The first one on Tuesday, coming on the legality of Proposition 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act, was the issue at hand on Wednesday. And Matt, it's always good to have you with us.
Good to be with you today.
Well, we're still kind of sifting through and trying to read the tea leaves like we always do based on the questions and comments from the justices, but the clear analysis by a lot of people in the Prop 8 case and initially the same with DOMA here on Wednesday is that the court is treading very lightly, seems unlikely to make some sort of grand sweeping decision, and isn't even quite sure whether it's in a position to rule on much of anything. Do you agree with that? And if so, why do you think they're in that position, that frame of mind?
Essentially, I do agree with that assessment. However, as the Obamacare case taught us last year, you can never predict how the court's going to rule based on oral argument alone. Everyone thought, including myself, that the Supreme Court would strike down Obamacare across the board. And in fact, that's the way the case was actually proceeding. That's how the original vote was. But during the writing phase, Chief Justice John Roberts, 30 days or so into the writing, changed his vote and switched, and therefore made the taxing and spending clause the issue and upheld the individual mandate under that particular provision. Wrongly, I believe, but nevertheless, that's what he did. So consequently, you can't be 100% sure of which way the justices are going based upon their arguments. However, it does appear that at least in the Prop 8 and to some extent in the DOMA case, that they are questioning, and I don't think that they're going to make, at least it appears at this point, a very broad ruling in either case. In the Proposition 8 case, just like the DOMA case, there's standing issues. In the California Proposition 8 case, there was a trial court decision against Proposition 8, the state constitutional marriage amendment, and the state attorney general decided not to appeal and let that decision stand. Private entities that supported Proposition 8 did appeal, and that's how it ultimately got to the U.S. Supreme Court. Something similar happened in the DOMA case. You had a decision from the federal trial court in New York against the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Then the United States Attorney General decided that he was not going to defend the case. And then the U.S. House, of course, appointed its own attorney to take up the case, and the court allowed that to happen, and that's how the case ultimately ended up before U.S. Supreme Court. A little different, but very similar. And so the question is, are these cases even supposed to be before the high court? And that's questions that the court is asking and seems to be very troubled by. They might ultimately punt on this issue and not even reach the merits of the case.
Now, when it comes to standing, if in fact the court rules that the people appealing the decision from the Ninth Circuit don't have standing and that since the government is not defending DOMA, that its defenders don't have standing, my guess is that it would mean gay marriage is then legal in California. But in terms of DOMA, would it just mean for the Southern District of New York, or would it be for every state that currently has legalized gay marriage?
Well, with regards to the Proposition 8 case, if they knocked it out based on standing, it could go all the way down back to the trial court. The Federal Court of Appeals case would be eliminated, and essentially you'd have potentially only the trial court, which is the Northern District of California. There's three districts in California, the Southern, Middle, and Northern. So the San Francisco and North part of California would be governed by that ruling, but not the Central or even the Southern part of California. Only that particular northern part of California would be under this particular trial court ruling. They could decide to vacate even that trial court ruling, but it's going to have a very limited impact either way. If you move over to the Defense of Marriage Act, if they decide to address that issue on standing, then you've got the Southern District of New York that would be standing and valid. The problem there is it wouldn't, the good thing is obviously it wouldn't go beyond that. But it depends, of course, as to what they say in their opinion. If they essentially set up a sitting duck where all you have to do is file suit on a broader area where you don't have standing and use the Supreme Court's language against it, then you could basically pick off the Federal Defense of Marriage Act in a different way. Right now, it looks like from the early comments of the questions of the justices, and we just don't know, that Justice Kennedy has made a question or a suggestion that DOMA violates states' rights. I think that's obviously wrong. doesn't violate any state's rights at all. States don't have the right to define what kind of federal benefits its citizens are going to have. They can define what kind of state benefits they're going to have, and DOMA doesn't interfere with that. There's some others on the court that see this as a so-called gay rights issue, which I don't think that it involves either one of those situations. I think DOMA is constitutional. There's rational reasons and legitimate reasons for having this definition of marriage in our federal Defense of Marriage Act.
If Kennedy is on that side of the issue, at least as it relates to DOMA, does that suggest that there are probably five votes on that side then?
Could be. You know, you just never know. It's not going to be clear. I'm probably more concerned about, either way, if Kennedy decided to punt on the Proposition 8 case but then decided to strike down the DOMA case, the question is how broad would the language be in the decision? And would it actually go beyond the Defense of Marriage Act to effectively address or affect other state constitutional marriage amendments like Proposition 8 and like the 30 other states that have passed Defense of Marriage Acts?
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more, because there have been some in the media who have said that if, in fact, the court does anything other than uphold DOMA and Prop 8, it will set off the foot race, essentially, in all these other states where gay marriage supporters would then head to their courts to try and have courts strike down the constitutional amendments or statutory laws against gay marriage, or at least in favor of traditional marriage in those states. Do you see that happening, or does it vary from state to state, perhaps?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, and it depends upon the language of the court. I think that if the court goes far or even too far, either in the Proposition 8 case or the DOMA case, in my view, it will undermine the legitimacy of the court, making it, I believe, an illegitimate arbiter of the rule of law and transforming it or morphing it into simply a political machine. I think the Supreme Court has crossed that line already historically. I think they crossed that line in the, obviously, Roe versus Wade case as the primary example. I think they crossed that line in the Obamacare case. I think they crossed it in many situations. But if they did it here, I think it would be a very critical blow to the legitimacy of this court.
Based on what you've heard from the arguments, and at this point we know more about the Prop 8 arguments than we do about the DOMA arguments, how strong were the arguments by Cooper and Clement in favor of traditional marriage?
Well, as it relates to Cooper, and this doesn't say anything regarding the merits of the case, because I think the case has strong merits if you just look at it independently. But I think Cooper did a terrible job, both in terms of his oratory delivery, and was horrible on the substance. You know, he was asked a question, what is the reason why marriage is different or unique? Why would states want to protect marriage? And he didn't come up with an answer. Scalia then threw out the answer about how children do better when they're raised with a mom and a dad, but there's some people that obviously in studies that suggest that. He wasn't taking a position either side on the issue. And he says that, and they didn't know why that had not been presented in the brief. Kagan and Scalia had mentioned that to Cooper, and Cooper had a home run that he could have knocked out of the park. But unfortunately, they have positioned this case from the very beginning, which is the reason why Liberty Counsel wanted to intervene in this case, as a very marriage-light kind of situation. They haven't really wanted to address the issue of homosexuality, and they haven't really wanted to address significantly the issue of the difference that children have when they're raised with a home with a mom and a dad as opposed to two men and two women. That's a significant difference, and it's a significant reason, not just for procreation, which obviously is essential, but also for creating the best environment for the well-being of children. If you move over to Paul Clement, Paul Clement's always been a good advocate, a strong advocate. He's one of the best orators before the United States Supreme Court. These subject matters are new to him. He just recently got into these subject matters of marriage with this particular series of DOMA cases that he's been involved with. But, you know, he's a sharp individual and a good oral advocate.
Hmm. Matt, obviously we're expecting rulings of some sort on these by the end of June. How significant, and obviously it depends on what those rulings are, but how much could the fabric of our society change, in your opinion, in the next 3 months?
Well, it could be huge. If the Supreme Court went the wrong way, it would be catastrophic because it would literally reshape America. It would undermine marriage and weaken the institution of marriage. We've seen that in the Netherlands that adopted a same-sex civil union type of arrangement in 2000, and as a result, We've seen information that's coming out of the Norway, Denmark, and Sweden countries where marriages are simply falling apart. Children are being born out of wedlock. Males are not committed to the marriage relationship. And when you have children born out of wedlock at a greater rate, what you ultimately have is a dumbing down of the economy, a weakening of the economy. You have a damaging of the children and the family structure. And what you have is a significant breakdown of the very core of society. Moreover, it would put this homosexual agenda on a direct collision course with free exercise of religion. We saw what happened in Massachusetts, and it's just one of many, many examples where same-sex marriage or same-sex unions come into play. And there the Catholic charities have had to get out of the adoption ministry because they're not going to violate the religious beliefs and place children in homes with same-sex couples. You see that with people who run bed and breakfasts, wedding photographers, cake decorators, and it goes on and on and on, where you're going to have to choose between your profession or same-sex agendas. And also then you look at the public schools. Parental rights will be undermined. Children as young as kindergarten will be forced to have information fed to them about not just tolerance and alternative families, which is bad enough with regards to redefinition of the family, but same-sex aberrant sexual behavior is normative, good, and healthy. That's the kind of thing that you're going to see in the public schools, and we're seeing it already in some of these states like Massachusetts that have adopted same-sex marriage. This would be on a nationwide basis. It would be catastrophic. I think it would ultimately be the beginning of the end of the United States of America as we know it.
Matt, we'll certainly wait to see what the justices have to say, but as you say, monumental decisions, at least potentially, coming in just a couple of months from now. Thank you, as always, for your time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He is also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.